Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, happy fall. It is finally fall. It does not feel like it here in Tennessee, but I think we are going to get a little break in the heat soon. And I know that Willow will appreciate that because it just gets so hot to do anything outside. I hope you are having a wonderful week so far. And I hope you are getting as excited about fall and Halloween as I am. This is going to be Willow's first Halloween, and she did meet her first skeleton today, and she was a little unsure. So it's going to be a very interesting, Halloween season. I usually start decorating by now, but alas, I have not. I've been very busy working on a project, and I just have not had the time to do it. So hopefully I'll get on that here in the next couple of weeks. And Gemma, our oldest cat and the oldest animal of the house, loves Halloween and loves helping me decorate. It's actually quite humorous. She just loves it. So I'm really looking forward to that. Maybe I'll post some pictures this year or put some pictures from Halloween past. I hope your dog enjoys Halloween as much. And do me a favor, guys. When you start getting the Halloween decorations out, your mask and things like that, please don't purposely scare your dogs. They don't understand it. And I don't like when we on purpose scare the dogs, make noises at them, and do those type things. Just like this trend that was going around where people are pretending to have someone break into the home to see how their dog's going to respond. Please don't do that. That's as bad as hiding from your child to see what response that they're going to give you when they feel like they've lost you. It's way too much trauma that we can create there. So let's not do that. I appreciate it, and I promise your dog appreciates. Now, some of you may have dogs that have no problem with the mask and things like that. Myers doesn't care. He likes it, but I'm not going to scare him with it because I want to make sure that our dogs always trust us. So it may be cute and funny in your mind, but please think about how it might affect your dog. And I will get off my soapbox on that one. And that's all I'm going to say about that one this episode. I'm sure as I go forward, I will probably be mentioning that over and over again and talking about the best way to handle Halloween for your dog. I can tell you the spa room is going to be your best friend for that. But today we are not talking about spa room. We are not talking about Halloween just yet. What we are going to talk about is we're going to talk a little bit about house manners and how to help your dog with the house manners that, well, are important to you. And let's be real. When it comes to house manners, it's truly a personal preference. The rules of my home are going to be, more than likely, very different than the rules that you may have in your home. My clients across the board, many have very different rules. Some have a no furniture rule. Some have no kitchen rule. Some people give their dog the majority of their bed and don't care. It's truly a personal preference on what those rules look like. But what's so important is that we know what those rules are, and then we help communicate those rules to our dog. Because it's not fair that we bring them into a situation or an environment that they're not familiar with, that they're not genetically bred for, and expect them to understand all the rules. It is our job to make sure that we establish what our expectations are and we help communicate that to our dog. You know, like, don't get in the litter box, as Willow is right behind me doing that as I'm recording, getting into the big litter box. And you're probably saying, well, Nikki, why do you have free access to the litter box? Well, that is a very good question. I actually do have a small gate that we put in front of the one in the office. The other two are not really accessible, but the one in the office is more accessible. It's not used very often, but I do have a little gate that goes in front of it. However, when I'm sitting in my chair at the desk, it's right behind me, and I often will hit this gate and knock it over, and it's annoying. So, yeah, I have it wide open right now, and she's just sticking her big head into it. But that's okay. I'll just direct her to do something else, give her a chew bone or something. But those are the things we want to talk about, right? How do we handle some of these house manners? How do we decide what we want to do? How do we help teach our dogs what we want? How do we even know what we want? Because like I said, it is very different of your rules versus my rules. So I am going to cover a few things that I think are really important across the board. And I will talk about furniture and furniture manners a little bit on this as well. So I think overall what we're probably going to talk about is going to be some counter surfing, door control, because dogs that running through doors, that can be very challenging. Maybe we'll even talk a little bit about steps, right? Teaching dogs to go up and down steps more carefully, right? If you have a multi-level home. And then I will probably pick out something else to maybe talk about. We'll just have to see how it goes. I've just kind of got a few things in my mind and want to kind of cover those. Now, the newsletter that's going to come out tomorrow, if you're not signed up for that, you need to sign up for it. The blog that we're going to have out tomorrow will be a step-by-step on door control. So we are going to talk about door control today, but the newsletter will actually give you a step-by-step. So that newsletter goes out on Wednesday. So be sure that you are signing up for that. You do not want to miss out. You can sign up at the website, dogspeak101.com. No excuses, people. And also be sure you're following us on social media, because that's where you'll find a lot of really good information on how to work with your dog, how to teach these things. So that's what this episode is going to be about. I know that counter surfing can be a typical problem. Now, some of you guys have smaller dogs. You may not have counter surfing issues. However, you may have issues such as your dog jumping up on the couch and grabbing things off your end table or the coffee table, or they've learned to jump up on a chair onto your kitchen table. So small dogs are not immune to grabbing things off of counters or tables. Obviously, the bigger dogs are the ones that we have the majority of issue when it comes to counter surfing. But it is not unheard of to see dogs jump on chairs, tables to get to countertops. So I want to start with that. But before we talk about kind of those individual things, first, understand that when your dogs are doing behavior in your home that you don't like, please understand that your dog is not bad. They're not trying to be bad. They're not trying to piss you off. They're not mad at you because you left. You know, when they pee in your house, they're not mad because you left. They don't have that type of reasoning. And thank goodness they're not assholes like humans, right? So we've got to stop taking these human emotions and putting them on our dogs when it comes to something as silly as saying, yeah, my dog peed on my bed, he's mad. There are a lot of reasons why your dog may have peed on your bed, right? And we can't just blatantly say, oh, yeah, my dog was being a little asshole and he peed on my bed. He was mad because I left him. No. More than likely, and when I say more than likely, 99% of the time, your dog is not mad, right? Anxiety is a real thing for dogs. And if you leaving them causes anxiety, Well, they can't help it. And that pottying in the house or pottying on your bed is their way of communicating to you that there's something wrong. Because they can't walk up to you and say, hey, mom, dad, yeah, I'm really struggling with some anxiety. Can you get me some help? No, they're gonna show you these things through action and through behavior. And all behavior is going to give us information. So don't look at behavior as being good or bad. I like to look at behavior as, is it appropriate or is it inappropriate for the time, for the situation, right? It's not a, my dog's being bad. I know that we like to joke about that. My dog's being a little heathen, he's being a little asshole. I joke about that, right? But I know that my dog's not doing something because she's mad at me or she's just a bad dog. Bad dogs, people say my dog's bad, well, that's probably because you haven't done shit with them. You haven't helped teach them anything. It's like if you have a kid and you don't ever teach them any rules, and then you're just going to say your kid's a bad apple. Hey, you're the tree. You're the tree there. You dropped that apple. So let's start taking some responsibility for our dog's behavior, good or bad, appropriate or inappropriate. However you want to look at it, but you can look at behavior being bad, but don't look at your dog being bad, okay? When we're looking at dogs that are counter surfing or running through doors or like I just said, peeing somewhere, there are real reasons why this happens. Now, counter surfing is something that's, very simple. It smells usually really good in the kitchen and there's good things can be found on a kitchen counter. And dogs are genetically bred to forage, to hunt, to seek. And so they're going to take that nose and look for items, edible, chewable. So these are natural things. You have dogs that run through doors, usually because there's more exciting things on the other side of that door and because we've allowed them to do it. So instead of looking at good, bad, appropriate, inappropriate, you can look at, are these behaviors, do I want them? If I don't want them, then what do I want instead? If I don't want my dog running through the door, then what do I want instead? If I don't want my dog counter surfing, what do I want instead? If I ask people, what behavior do you want to see in the kitchen, most people will tell me, I don't want to see my dog counter surf. Well, I asked you what you want it to see. It's an easy question, but we have to get our mind set in the right direction. If I'm walking around the house going, I don't want my dog doing this. I don't want my dog doing that. I don't want my dog doing that. Nope, definitely don't want my dog doing that. Well, you're going to continue in some frustration because that's not going to tell your dog what it is you do want. And then don't tell me, well, I don't care what the dog does as long as he's not counter surfing. Well, that's great. You're going to still get some things you don't like. And so it's so much easier if we could just say, this is what I want in this situation. And then we can talk about how do we get there? How do we teach our dog to do that? So any behavior that you may have, and especially with something like counter surfing and running through doors or up and down stairs, is that if you don't manage it and you don't limit your dog's options, you're going to continue to have the same problem, right? If I continue to leave food on the counter where my dog can reach it, I don't care how many times I scream and yell, the dog is going to keep doing it. However, the dog will probably stop doing it in front of you because they've learned that when they do it in front of you, even though they get that reward, they get that dish towel, they get that bread, they get that steak, that you get angry. So they're just waiting till you're not in the room. So that means when you're marinating that steak and you go outside to heat that grill up, that steak's gone. Because the dog learned I can do this until mom, dad comes in here and yells at me. So what we have to learn to do is we have to learn to manage the situations, prevent your dog from doing those unwanted behaviors, because any behavior that your dog does, it will begin to create a pathway. The more that behavior is exhibited, the bigger the pathway, right? It's like if you're walking a path in the woods, and one of my clients gave me this the other day, and I loved it more than the water that I was, that I typically will talk about water flowing, is when you, if you go into the woods and you start walking, and there's no path, but you just start walking through the woods, you will slowly start to kind of crush the vegetation. And if you follow that path over and over again, then that vegetation will get more and more crushed to where it starts to die out, and you will start to create a trail. And then the more you do it, then the wider the trail gets, the deeper the trail gets. And that's what we talk about when a dog exhibits a behavior, a pathway is being made. And so in order to prevent them going down that pathway, we have to kind of block that pathway up and say, you know what, this trail is closed. Here's a new trail. And over time, you can start to remove kind of the blockade of that trail and giving them the options, and they'll start to learn to take the correct trail. So when we are doing management, using things such as baby gates, closed doors when you're cooking, putting your dog away, having a dog on a leash before going out the door, right? These are little things. Pushing food back, keeping food put in a pantry for now, working on it specifically will help you get there a lot faster with a lot less management. Management can help with your sanity, but management's not going to teach your dog what you want. Management's fine. You have to, but we have to make sure that we are focused on teaching. So with counter surfing, it is very normal for dogs to jump up there. And when I talk about behaviors with dogs, I like to say that every behavior a dog does is either a self-rewarding behavior or a non-self-rewarding behavior. Self-rewarding behaviors are things that the dog does not need you for. The dog, when he does it, it's a reward within himself, and he doesn't need you to tell him how good it is. Things like sitting, laying down, peeing and pooping, chewing, digging, and for some dogs, jumping is self-rewarding. But typically when dogs jump, it's a non-self-rewarding behavior because they're looking for attention from you. So any behavior that is not self-rewarding means that they are doing something to receive a reward from something external. And jumping is a really good example because most dogs will jump at owners and on owners to get something. Get that attention, grab something, get closer to your face, whatever that looks like for them. And if we don't reward it over time, that behavior will extinguish. So when we deal with behavior that's self-rewarding or non-self-rewarding, we either ignore it, acknowledge it, or interrupt it. So any behavior that I don't like that is considered self-rewarding, I will interrupt that behavior and I will redirect. Now, I say interrupt. I don't say correct, and I don't say punish, because that's not what I'm doing. I'm simply interrupting and then redirecting. So that interruption is giving information. That behavior I don't want. However, I'm going to give you more information that I would rather see you do this behavior. So countersurfing can actually be either self-rewarding or non-self-rewarding, depending on what's on the counter. If you have nothing on the counter, and for 2 weeks straight, your dog jumps on the counter and searches for things, but there is never anything on there, and the dog has never gotten a reward, eventually the dog will stop trying. Now, once he hasn't tried for a couple of weeks, it's not unusual for him to get a sniff of something and try one more time, just to be sure. We call that an extinction burst, where the dog just tries really hard after not trying for a while, just to make sure that that behavior needs to go into the category of that doesn't work, that doesn't get a reward. So if you imagine a dog who likes to hunt and goes to the same base of a tree 12 times, and all 12 times never found prey, that dog would probably stop trying that tree. Now, maybe it'll go by and swing by just to be sure before it says, nope, that's definitely not a tree that is good for me. I'm going to not waste my time, because dogs are not going to waste their time doing things over and over and over and over again that are not rewarding. Doesn't mean a dog's not going to try a bunch. We like that tenacity. We want them to try. But we have to make sure that they're not getting a reward for it. So with your counter surfing, if you can keep things away and your dog is up there searching, you can simply ignore that. If I have a behavior that's not self-rewarding, I can ignore it. When I have a dog trying to jump on me, I just ignore it. I mean, obviously there's some exceptions with dogs that are like really big or really, you know, toenails are bad or they're mouthy. I will handle that in a different way, but overall, I just ignore it. So if Willow is up on the counter and she's looking around and there's nothing she can get, I just ignore her. I'm not going to get mad at her for trying, because I don't want her to be afraid to try new things. Because if I make her afraid to try new things, she's going to be reluctant to learn new behavior that I want to teach her, or reluctant to try something new in an environment that she's not familiar with. I never want my dog to be afraid to try. And that means you have to let them try the things that you don't like just as much as the things you do like, as long as it's safe for your dog. So if your dog is jumping on the counter and there's nothing they can get, simply ignore them. You don't have to do anything. Don't look, don't talk, don't touch. Just ignore them. If there is something they can get, that's where our interruption comes in. Now, you have a couple of options. You can push the item back and just let your dog figure out that they can't reach it. Or you can remove your dog by just gently putting them to the floor. And usually what I do is just kind of gently, because my dogs don't keep collars on in the house, so I'll just kind of gently kind of use my hand on the side of her neck or her shoulder, and just kind of move a little bit. I mean, it truly is such a small movement, but it's just enough just to get it to stop, just to get her to stop. And that's all. I don't have to do anything else. Now, we can't just be interrupting or ignoring, right? We have to teach what we want in the kitchen. So here's a couple of options. One, I reward four on the floor. Anytime my dog is got four on the floor in the kitchen and she's sniffing along the counters, I'm okay with that because she's not jumping on them. Sniffing's not the problem. I will acknowledge that four on the floor. I want her to learn how to be in the kitchen, and not just how to be in the kitchen when I'm in there. All right, because if I'm yelling and screaming all the time when she's jumping up, she's only going to learn to not jump up when I'm in the room. And when things get stolen, it's typically when you're not in the room. So that's the first thing, is we need to focus on four on the floor in the kitchen and really reward that. Now, a couple of other things that you can do is, one, you could just keep your dog out of the kitchen, period. Teach them that they don't pass the threshold, right? But you can also teach them to go to a mat, right? You can work on place. So while you're cooking, you can put them on place, give them a frozen topple, teach them that that's where good things happen there. Or you can give them a topple and put them in the other room with a baby gate. So I had to stop and pause for a second because she brought the toy in here to squeak, and I was just trying to explain to her that I'm recording and that she needs to go into the other room to play with it. And it was pitiful. She just dropped it and looked at me with the saddest eyes. So I apologize for a little bit of squeaky. If it's too bad, I'll send her to the other room. But I just love her so much. The good thing about Place is that you should be able to send your dog with just a verbal, not using those hands. Because if you're cooking, you don't want to be pointing and snapping fingers or having to walk over to put your dog in place. And this is why when we teach Place, we're teaching that verbal first and foremost. Keep the hands out of it, right? So that you can send them there. And over time, they're going to learn that, hey, when mom gets that pot or that pan out, I run and jump on my bed because mama's going to bring me a topple and I'm going to get to chew on that while she's cooking. Or, you know, when dad is making lunches for the kids, I'm going to sit over here with my chew bone that I only get when dad's doing that. All right. So there are really good ways of again, setting up some predictable patterns of precedence, right? If dogs learn that, hey, every time dad gets the, you know, lunch boxes out, I get a bone on my bed, then as soon as you get the lunch boxes out, the dog is going to run over there and be ready. And dogs love that. They love those predictable patterns. We've talked about it before. So there's really not a lot of reason why you should be having counter surfing issues, right? You should be working on that. And if you're not in the kitchen and say you have a bonus room upstairs and your dog sneaks down while you're watching TV and gets in the kitchen and gets on the counters, whose fault is that? Not the dog's, right? Use a baby gate. Block off the kitchen. Block off the stairs. Make your dog stay with you. Teach them place and stay up there. Use a leash to tether them to you right now if you need to, right? You don't want to give, you know, you wouldn't give an 8-year-old keys to your car in hopes that they wouldn't go off with it and drive. I mean, it doesn't make sense why we expect our dogs to be so responsible when we've not taught them anything. So I really like to focus on ensuring that we're setting our dogs up for success. And then every time you're in the kitchen, every single time you're in the kitchen and your dog is in the kitchen with you, acknowledge that good behavior. Four on the floor, I promise you that they have four on the floor in your kitchen more than they don't. But you've got to focus on the four on the floor. And if you don't want to work on it, put your dog in a crate. Right? Don't set yourself up for frustration and aggravation because that's not fair to you and it's not fair to your dog. Now let's talk about door control. So door control for me isn't just about an aggravation of dogs, you know, rushing past. It's a safety thing for me. I have a real problem with the majority of the way door control is taught. And that typical way is people ask their dog to sit, stay or wait, and then they open the door. And then one day, their dog bolts out. And the reason is because most of the time when dogs are going to bolt outdoors, they're going to be off leash and no one told them to sit and stay or wait. If we add in a sit with a stay or wait, then for the dog, the sit has to be in play in order for the rule to apply. I'm going to say that again. If we ask a dog to sit every time before they go through doors, we are then putting in the sit as a requirement for the rule to apply. That means that when your kids come in, your friends come in, somebody didn't close the door all the way, the wind blew the door open, your dog is going to run out that door. And why? Because no one was there to tell them to sit and wait. Therefore, the rule did not apply. We don't teach a sit, stay, and wait at the door. What we like to teach is an automatic rule of you do not go through thresholds of doors that we control without permission. I don't care if you're standing on your head. I don't care if you're halfway across the room. I don't care if you're sitting or laying down on your own. I don't care. I want you to not go through doors without permission. This includes car doors, crate doors, front door, back door, garage door, gate. We have had our gate blow open several times. And I have not had my dogs escape and run through the neighborhood. Because we practice that rule. If a door is typically closed and you don't get to go through without a human opening it for you, then you have to wait for permission. And it's actually easy, fairly easy to teach. So the first thing is making sure you have a permission word. Okay, we use okay, you can use free, release, go, whatever. It's totally up to you. I use okay. My dogs figure it out. They know it. For my cats, I use outside because I don't want my cats bolting out either. So, but when they do get to go out, outside is their cue that they get to go. And then inside is their cue to come in. So I start out with my cue word, which is okay. And I'm teaching, especially as a puppy when they were young, every time I open a door for them to go through, crate, or the back door to go out and potty, I say okay. So I start teaching them that that word is going to happen prior to them going through. Then I will start teaching them to wait before permission's given. So in the beginning, I'm just opening the door and saying okay. Then I'm going to start opening the door and pausing on saying okay. But guess what's going to happen? The dog is going to run through because he's going to have anticipation of you saying okay. So this is how we like to teach this. You can use a leash, but the leash is not used to prevent the dog from trying. I actually let the door be the communicator. So if my dog has got enough space back, I like to have a little space so they're not right on the door. I don't like their nose right at the threshold. So typically they're back just a little bit. I will start to open the door, and if they start to come forward, I just close the door. And they usually look at me like I've lost my mind, and they back up, and I start to open the door again. They start to move forward, I close it. They back up, I open. And I'm teaching them that moving forward closes the door, staying back opens it. And I'll open it and maybe have it open for 2 to 3 seconds. May not even be all the way open, but enough for them to go through. And I give them permission and let them go. And then I make it harder. And eventually, you should be able to open that door, keep it open, walk out, and your dog never come through that threshold without permission. And I remember this really specific time that I was in my RV and Double D was in there as well. And I had to go out and work with a client. And so I just left her in the RV, but I only had the screen door closed. So I didn't have the big door closed, so just the screen door. So she had a breeze. She could see us. She could smell us, all those fun things. Well, we had gotten farther away from the RV, and it was my client and her dog, and we were working, and all of a sudden, I just kind of looked over at the RV, and my door had popped open. And I'm guessing that she pushed it open because she was sniffing, but she pushed it open, and I saw her take a step down. There were 3 steps to go down to outside. I saw her take a step down, and I kind of stayed back. She couldn't see me at that point, and I just kind of watched, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to see if what I worked on, if it's going to work here, because I like to teach for real life, and this is real life. This is real life. I want to see if she's going to come out that door, because no one's there to tell her not to, but because I've set it up with a permission based, will she come all the way out or not? And she did not. She took a step out, just kind of leaning out and was sniffing, but never came out of the RV. And that's the real life we're talking about. The kids running through the house, not closing the door all the way. Your lawn guy leaving the gate open. The storm blew through and knocked over, whatever you have that was keeping your dog in. So I'm really big on this door control and ensuring that we help our dogs learn to make the right decision. Because here's another thing, like if you have somebody leaving your house and they don't know your rule of sit and wait or sit and stay, your dog's just going to push them out of the way and run out because nobody told them not to. So again, we're focusing on what not to do instead of focusing on what behavior do I want my dogs to exhibit at these thresholds. So car door, crate door, garage, gate, anything that you're controlling. If my dog goes to the bathroom with me and I close the bathroom door, and when we're done and I'm leaving the bathroom, I tell her, okay. Because I want her to know, I just opened this door and I'm giving you permission to go. Even though the bathroom door is open the majority of the time, she's never in there with the door closed unless I'm in there. So I just want to keep the same rule of okay. And it should become a habit. I've literally opened the door for people in public and said okay as they're walking in. It's kind of embarrassing, but I've done it. And it's just because it's just a habit. It's habitual now, which is good because I want my dogs to learn that we just don't go bolting outdoors. Now, here's one thing that I do, and I just actually, when I paused this a minute ago and opened the back door for her to go out and potty because she's bored, is I will open the door, and if it's a free where she can come and go as she pleases, I just use a free dog. Which means you can come in and out as many times as you want until the door closes. And then coming in, it's the same thing, right? If they've been outside and they're dirty and I don't want them coming in the house until I clean them off, I don't want them bolting through when I'm coming in and out. I want them to wait until I'm giving them permission because I may need to clean them up before they come in the house. Now, I think I do have a couple of videos on YouTube that show this. Actually, I know Gray did an entire video on door control. So go to YouTube, subscribe, watch, comment, and practice with your dog. Very important. So that door control to me is one of the safest things that you can do. Now, if we're doing things like rewarding for the door, if I am going to let my dog go through the door, that is the reward. The reward is to go through the door and go outside and sniff or come inside or get out of the car, get out of the crate. That is the reward. I don't have to use food there. But if I am going to go out the door, but I don't want my dog following me, maybe I've got it open because I'm signing for a package, I will reward my dog using food because I'm not going to let them go out the door for the reward. Now, you're certainly welcome to teach a place command for the door, but you have to really be on top of that. Anytime you're going to have company, if you have more than one person in the house, that's going to be a challenge. And so I like to put a little bit more responsibility on my dog to make those decisions. And yes, they can make those decisions, and you can teach that. But if you do have multiple people in the home, you've got to teach everybody to do the same thing. To give that permission. If you have to put notes on your doors, if you have to take a dry erase marker and write on the windows of your doors to, you know, make the dog not go or don't let the dog go out until permission's given, do that. Do whatever you have to do because this, honestly, guys, this could be life or death for your dog. Okay? Truly, it could be life or death for your dog. And so practicing that door control for me is a really important one. And it's usually when I start pretty early on with my pups. Now, the last thing is just, you know, and really if we're talking about things like stairs, you can do the same thing with stairs. Now, you could with stairs give a wait command, and I would just say, you know, wait, toss some treats, start to walk up the stairs, and then I'm going to give my dog permission to come up the stairs with me. The next time I'm going down the stairs, I'm going to have my dog wait. I'm going to toss some treats, and then I'm going to start down the stairs, and then I'm going to give my dog permission to come down. Eventually, I will wait until I get to the top of the stairs before I get permission, or the bottom of the stairs before I get permission. It's just small steps to take. You can also just take a treat and teach your dog to walk alongside you, not push you out of the way. Right? Just take that treat and treat them on every step as they're walking right next to you. Over time, it won't take much. Your dog will learn to just walk calmly next to you up and down stairs. That's important. If you have a dog, here's one problem that I see. We have dogs that want to run out the door and then launch themselves off the deck, off the porch, off the patio, whatever it looks like. What you can do there is teach your dog that right outside the door, there's going to be a scatter of treats. Right? Or you can put I had a client do this, and I love this idea, is that she put a mat on the inside of the door and a mat on the outside of the door. So the dog would sit on the mat on the inside of the house. She'd open the door and give the dog permission. The dog would go out the door, go to that mat, earn rewards there. And so we slowed that down so that the dog wasn't launching off the deck. And that can help decrease injuries. So you can basically do that. You can put a little mat out and put treats there. And the dog knows that there are treats there. Now, if you have multiple dogs, you may have to work them one at a time. So there are things that we can do to help our dogs learn. We just have to get involved. We have to set them up for success. If I have a dog who's running out the door and launching off the deck, I'm going to put them on a leash. I'm going to walk them through the door with permission. And then I'm going to get out on the deck or step off the deck and take them off the leash and then let them go. All right, we have to stop being lazy and really help our dogs learn, because that can absolutely help prevent injuries and also help you with your sanity. We contribute so much to our insanity because we don't do what we need to do to help our dogs. Now, you can do all this work with your dog, but if you're not meeting their needs, you're going to struggle. So make sure you're giving them plenty of enrichment. You're giving them opportunities to forage. If they like to dig, you know, and they're trying to get into, you know, maybe they're digging into the trash, then you need to find some puzzle toys, some snuffle mats, hide some treats or throw out their food in the grass. Give them opportunities to forage. Use that nose and hunt for food. Give them those sniffy walks. Right, you've got to make sure that you are meeting their needs. And then, of course, don't forget that you've got to have a good verbal marker. Right, good boy, good girl. That is, man, it's big. Right, good girl. When I say that to Willow, she's like, yeah, how good am I? Right, I look at little man, I'm like, you're such a good boy. I even do it to my cats. Steve, I tell him all the time, Steve, you're a good boy. He's a good boy, and he's meow, and he'll follow me, and, you know, he's looking for a treat as well. So really, you've got to make sure that you are acknowledging good behavior, you know, telling them when they're doing the right thing. Set them up for success. You want to avoid those corrections of screaming, yelling, pushing, punishing, kneeing, kicking. Yeah, I said kicking. Please don't kick your dog. I know that if you're listening, you don't kick your dog. But like when your dog's jumping, people knee them. Don't knee them. Right? If it hurts, scatter food on the floor. When you come in the house, if you can bet the house that your dog's going to jump on you, then you need to be prepared with some treats. And throw some treats down as you're walking in the house. And start teaching your dog that when you come in the house, food gets scattered on the floor. It will only take about a week before your dog doesn't meet you at the door. They're going to meet you about 10 steps back away from the door, anticipating the treats. Be patient when you're working on these things, especially if you've allowed your dog to bolt through doors for 3 years. it's not gonna fix itself in a day. Okay. Celebrate those small successes. Don't make things too hard. All right. Be sure that you set your dog up for success. We want them to learn. If I give my dog permission to go through the door when it's only a quarter of the way open and he only had to wait for a second and a half, that is success. The next time, I'll have that door open a quarter of the way and the dog may wait 3 seconds before I give permission and the dog waits that long. That's success. Also, when you are working on door control, please try not to creep the door open. The slower you open your door, the longer your dog has to wait, which means the more likely your dog is to get it wrong. Because if the dog is waiting there calmly and you're taking forever to open the door, their mind could be like, oh man, this is too slow. I wonder if I do this and maybe they start to head for the door. Maybe it'll open faster, right? Try to be as normal as you can when you're opening the door. So don't creep it open. Just be normal. That's why using a leash is fine, because if your dog does go through the door without permission, they're not running down the street. You could just simply bring them back in the house and do it again. And then I will work on a dog with a 30-foot leash. I'll take a 30-foot leash, attach it to something in the house, hooking the dog on a harness to work on advanced door control where I can open the door and keep it open while I step outside. That way, if the dog tries to go out, he's not going very far because he's on a leash attached to something, but it's still giving him the opportunity to try. If we don't give him a chance to try, then they can't learn. But we need to make sure that when they try, they're safe. Always, always safe. And even if you don't use your front door, you need to practice it, because I promise you, if you're just counting on safety measures like baby gates, or you've never gone through that door, your dog is going to bolt through that at some point. So don't avoid the front door because you don't want your dog knowing that's an outside. Your dog's not stupid. If anybody comes through that front door, they're not stupid. They know. Practice it. If that's where you're afraid, practice there. You may want to start practicing with the door for the backyard or the crate and then advance to the front. But don't avoid because of your fear. Because if you avoid, I promise you that fear is going to come true. So work on it. Set your dog up for success. Manage. Teach. Reward. Okay, and understand that your dog is trying to do his best, but he needs you to be his upper management. Needs you to help him figure this world out and figure this life out. All right. I hope that gives you some insight on how to handle things. Use that verbal marker throughout the day, throughout the evening when you see your dog doing something good. You don't have to do training sessions. When you're with your dog, those are opportunities to teach. Teaching happens every time you're with your dog. So no, you don't have to do a 30-minute training session, an hour training session. So when people tell me, I just don't have time to train my dog. Well, then you don't have time to spend with your dog. If you don't have time to train your dog, then you have no time to spend with them. Because if you feed them, you pet on them, you hang out and watch TV with them, you have time to train them. You have time to teach them about this world and what the manners you want to see from them. What are the rules of the house? What are the expectations? All right, if you don't mind them on the furniture, personal preference. All right, but don't be pissed at them if you give them free access to the furniture and then you get pissed at them because they jumped up one night when you're holding a glass of red wine. Not their fault. If you don't want them doing that, then maybe put furniture on permission. So you got to be thinking about these things. Dogs are not like, oh, we have company. I'm not supposed to launch myself off the couch when we have company. No, they don't know that. You have to help them learn. I know I may be hard on you guys today, but I do. I want you to really understand that you spend the majority of the time with your dog in your home. That is where you need to be focusing on what manners do you want. What rules and expectations? It's not fair if you don't lay out expectations with your dog and they get mad at them for doing something. And let's be real, when we get mad at our dog, we're really just mad at ourselves. Not our dog's fault. We have to take responsibility for it. So check out the YouTube. Be sure to subscribe. I'm really trying to put videos up every week. I might be a little late this week on getting one, but be sure you check that out. The door control video is on there. Gray does a great job explaining it, showing with the crate, showing with the door, and that's really important. It's really important to help your dog learn how to just live in his environment with the family and get everybody on board. It's not fair to the dog to have that inconsistency. And if you have to, sit down as a family and come up with some expectations and lay them out. Write them down. Stick them on the fridge. Help your dog by getting everybody on board. All right, that's what I got. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Please rate and review wherever you listen. That really helps us to find more listeners. It helps promote the podcast. Be sure to check out our Patreon. We have some walking videos that we're doing for our Patreon members only for $5 a month. You could be a Dog Speak Geek and get exclusive content. Not to mention, we'll be doing some exclusive Patreon Q&As. Through Zoom. So we'll be doing some live Q&As through our Patreon. So be sure you go and sign up, $5 a month, and you can help support the podcast and help us keep this going. Remember, we do offer virtual sessions. So if you just need a little guidance, you need a little assistance with a problem, maybe your dog's got some behavior problems, some trauma, anxiety issues, fear issues, aggression issues, we can help you. Just shoot us an email. Be happy to talk with you and get you on the books, because we can definitely help you out. And sign up for the newsletter, because we are sending out good stuff every week. And sometimes there's exclusive coupon codes in there. So be sure you guys are following us everywhere that you can. I appreciate you, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.